I'll introduce myself again. I feel like I've met everyone or people know me, but my name's Michelle Prindle, and I've been on staff with IFI for about 10 years, and I am currently the Ministry Partner Development Manager, which I help people who raise their personal support. But before that, I did campus ministry and directed the Columbus team for a short time. And prior to that, I was on staff with Crew and did campus ministry with them. So I've been doing ministry for about 20 years. And as I look back over my time of doing ministry, I can see seasons of times where I felt like I was resting really well, and then other times where I wasn't. And I would probably even say in recent years, I've probably not rested as well as I did early in ministry, which is kind of interesting. Sometimes maybe like increased responsibility and care for people. Maybe that's been it. But a few years ago, I would say, I think I might have been on the edge of burnout. And so this topic kind of is near to my heart because, burnout or being close to burnout was not something I would want for anyone. I just felt like my spiritual vitality was kind of snuffed out, my passion for doing ministry. I felt physically and emotionally kind of just depleted. And so I think about all of you guys and all the people that are here with us at this conference, and I'm like, oh, like anyone has that potential, you know, to kind of keep going and not rest and experience kind of what I did. So I feel like God's kind of brought me out of that. I feel like I'm much more, like my capacity's maybe a little less than it used to be because of that. But I would love to see like all people that God's calling into vocational ministry just be there as long as the Lord wants them there and to be well in it, you know, to just be able to feel like they're running the race with the Lord, kind of breathing into their sails and experiencing just such peace and joy with him in the midst of it. So I have three goals for this workshop. One is to look together just a few scriptures about rest. Second is to share with one another our experiences with rest, our struggles with rest. I hope that, you know, it can just be a bit of a dialogue. And if you can do that for me, that would be awesome. Well, that's okay. We can go backwards. Maybe. And then the third thing would just be to identify like a rest routine that you would like to embrace this year. Maybe something you've struggled with making a part of your life, or maybe something brand new. So we first see rest in the scripture when God rested after completing creation. And in doing so, I just really felt like he set forth this picture for us of work completed and rest that would follow. And the next place that I saw rest, I mean, the last place that I saw rest in scriptures was in Revelation. You know, so this beautiful picture of God resting with his people after redeeming people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. He made all creation new. And then sin and sorrow and death just kind of was no more. And although there was still work present, there's this beautiful aspect of rest. And then there's everything in between, a short stint with Adam, of course, but after the fall, it's just been like this heavy burden, I think, toilsome work, not necessarily producing everything that we would desire, but in the midst of that, I see God offering us rest. And so I want to look at a few scriptures here. Exodus 20, 8 through 11, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And so here, God is just pointing the Israelites back to that time in creation when he rested. And he set that day aside. He called it holy, meaning it was unlike any of the other days. And I feel like in here, like he was setting up something not just for the Israelites, but for all of creation. You know, people bear his image. He made them in his image. And in that, we can imitate him in this. And he's saying, that's pretty much what he's saying here, imitate me in this. And I feel like God is so gracious not only to the Israelites, but to every single person that was, that kind of were under their care in a sense. And, you know, even the foreigners, you know, are mentioned here. And so I just think, you know, God is for rest. He rested and he called them to rest. In this next slide, you'll see the Deuteronomy passage, chapter 5, and it's almost the same as what we just looked at, but instead of God, like, pointing the people to creation and maybe their image-bearing, he pointed them actually to the time when they were liberated from Egypt. And so if you look kind of partway down where it says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. You know, if you think about, like, those hundreds of years they were in a slavery, they were under really harsh conditions. They didn't have any freedom just to take off time and rest. But God's like, you are now free. And what do I want you to do? I want you to remember what I did to free you. All of my power, all of my greatness. And I want you to rest. I want you to set aside time, just as I told you before, you know, set aside the Sabbath. Keep it holy. I feel like, you know, you look at the Israelites and in their history, they didn't do a good job of following this command, you know. They didn't enter into the rest that God had for them, even though they were free to do so. They ended up, you know, kind of twisting it and making it what it never should have been. And then even the religious leaders later on piled on all these man-made rules and that could never be lived up to. And instead it became this heavy burden instead of this beautiful, free, and wonderful thing I think that God wanted to give them. And so even Jesus said, you know, the Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. And so thankfully, as we know, Jesus was sent on the scene and he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So just like Esther was talking about Christ's finished work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, like he just completely, you know, anyone who comes to him, anyone who places their faith in him can have this rest that he is offering. It's not only a rest from labor, but it's a rest for our souls. And so I kind of see both of those in the scriptures, this sense of God calling us to rest from our labors, but also an internal rest that we can experience no matter what we're doing. And then we see Hebrews 4, 9 and 10. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. So we are the people of God, right? And not only do we have this rest that we're entering into right now, but there's the greater rest to come that will be for us as well. And nowhere in the New Testament does it explicitly say, like, you must observe the Sabbath. It also doesn't say that you must refrain from the Sabbath. There's freedom there. But I think just looking at these few passages, I feel like what I do see is that God desires us to enter his rest. And so that, again, that's an inward peace that we experience, but also an outward resting from our labor. So I say rest, one of the things rest is grace. As we consider that we're image bearers, we're people who've been set free, we are the people of God anticipating the rest to come, like all of that is nothing that we can earn. Nothing that we deserve, but simply a gift that God gives us to be entered into, to be received with joy. And what an amazing thing. In 1 Peter 2, this is kind of our theme verses, it says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And I love that Esther unpacked that and said, like, that's treasure. Like, we're God's treasure. You know, he loves us so deeply, so dearly. And we can enter into rest. So I'm trying to encourage you to receive that grace that he's given us in this good gift of rest. So this next part is just taking some time to talk with one another. I have some discussion questions. I think maybe two groups might be good here. So you may need to kind of get a little closer. But these discussion questions are on your page, but they're here. What has been your understanding of the experience of Sabbath or the Lord's Day? Have you seen it as a burden or a gift? How do these verses impact your thinking about rest? So spend about, I don't know, maybe 6 minutes, 7 minutes or so, just talking through those with one another. Well, we're going to get back to the me talking, I guess, because I don't know what to call it, but about this, interrupt your wonderful discussion time. You will have two more, so you can look forward to those, and if you feel like you didn't get to finish something that was important, feel free to do that. So rest, it was interesting just to kind of listen to some of your things. I was like, wow, this is like kind of rich discussion to learn about one another's backgrounds a little bit and experiences. And, you know, rest, I think, is this amazing gift that God gives us. It's kind of a treasure to enjoy, I think, like the harshness of rules and regulations. I don't think that's the thought here, but more of entering into communion with God and with other people, growing in intimacy, doing things that replenish our soul, our spirit, our bodies, everything. So it's great. Like, I just think about the idea of freedom, you know, the taskmasters that the Israelites were under, and just how harsh that was, the religious rules and laws that the Israelites were under regarding Sabbath. And, you know, we don't have that. We don't have to follow those type of things. But the reality is, I know for me, even though I look at gift as a, or rest as a gift, like, it's really hard for me to enter into it naturally. There's so many things competing, like my cell phone, for example. like there's always a string of text messages. I can check my email and even do work from my phone. Ministry is not like a 9-to-5 job. It's students, staff, volunteers are contacting you at all hours. There's never really an end point to most things we do in ministry because we work with people and people live on. And so that's a good thing that we want that. We want those relationships to live on. And so the demand of ministry are just real, you know, and let alone not just ministry, but the tasks you have to do for life, the people you care for, your children, your aging parents, maybe your health isn't great. There's all sorts of things that that kind of put demands on us, in a sense. And yet our need for rest is very real. So there are all sorts of reasons, I think, that we don't rest. And we could probably do a little popcorn right here of a bunch of ideas about why we don't rest. But I just want to challenge us with one thought about why we might not rest. And that is that I know for myself, like, I struggle to trust in God's sovereignty and goodness. You know? have you ever said something like this? Well, I just really can't rest right now. I can rest later, but not right now, because if I don't keep doing this, everything's just going to fall apart. You know, like, I think those kinds of things, I think just naturally. You know, even preparing for this workshop, I worked way too much. Like, I stayed up way too long trying to get the slides just right, and like being like, what am I going to say? And like, God was like, you're not trusting my sovereignty and my goodness in this. I was like, oh, yeah, I really want to do that, Lord. So either he's like good and in control, like, all the time, and we can relax, or he's not, and we have to like do as much as we can and run as hard as we can, and it all depends on us. You know, like, he's either going to work good in all situations and take any mishap, wreckage, things we forget, and turn them into good, or not. You know, and so that is one thing that I'm challenged by: God's sovereignty and goodness. In Psalm 62, 5 through 8, David was declaring God's sovereignty and goodness when he said, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And I intellectually believe this. I even, with my mouth, declare this. But in my life, I don't always live it. And I just want to read a poem out of this book that I did read on this topic. It's by Mark Buchanan, called The Rest of God, Restoring Your Soul by Restoring Sabbath. So if you want to write that down if you're interested, Mark Buchanan, The Rest of God, Restoring Your Soul by Restoring Sabbath. And there's a lot of great stuff in here, and I have to just say I took like maybe a couple little things. I was like, this topic is way big once you start reading about it. But there's a great poem in here called Obedience. Were my parents right or wrong not to mow the ripe oats that Sunday morning with the rainstorm threatening? I reminded them that the Sabbath was made for man and the ox fallen into the pit. Without an oats crop, I argued, the cattle would need to survive on town-bought oats, and then it wouldn't pay to keep them. Isn't selling cattle at a loss like an ox in a pit? My parents did not argue. We went to church. We sang the usual psalms louder than usual, we and the others whose harvests were at stake. Jerusalem, where blessing waits, our feet are standing in thy gates. God be merciful to me. O thy grace, I rest my plea. Or on thy grace, I rest my plea. There was no concession on the sermon length. Five good reasons for infant baptism. Though we heard little of it, for more floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house than we had figured on even. More lightning and thunder, the hail the size of pullet eggs. Falling branches snapped the electric wires. We sang the closing psalm without the organ and in the dark. Ye seed of Abraham descended, God's covenant love is never ended. Afterward, we rode by our oats field flattened. We still mow, Dad said. 10 bushels to the acre, maybe. What would have been 50 if I had mowed right after milking, and if the whole family had shocked? We could have had it weatherproof before the storm. Later at dinner, Dad said, God was testing us. I'm glad we went. Those psalms never gave me such a lift as this morning, Mother said. I wouldn't have missed it. And even I thought, but did not say, how guilty we would feel now if we had saved the harvest. The one time Dad asked me why I live in a black neighborhood, I reminded him of that Sunday morning. Immediately he understood. So I just feel like that was a picture of a family just declaring God's sovereignty and goodness by saying we see that we may experience loss here, but we've already made a decision that we are going to orient ourselves at this time towards the Lord and enter into that day of worship with him. And we have a lot of freedom, I think, but I really feel like, you know, when I think about that, I'm not sure I would have made that decision. I probably would have tried to save the oats crop, and I might have missed out on probably something extraordinary that God was doing in their lives, something much deeper and greater than saving that oats crop. And you think about that son who was struggling with that decision that they made and the outcome of his life as they witnessed their choice and what came from that. Like, he saw the oats crop, you know, like they lost a lot probably through that, but they gained so much more. And so I even think about like, oh, my own life, like who around me, the students, my neighbors, other people, as they're watching me, in a sense, make some decisions to declare God's sovereignty and goodness when I take time to rest. You know, because really it's saying, wow, Lord, you've got this. I can enter into this with you and just enjoy time with you, whatever that looks like. And people may be like, wow, what does this mean for your life? What does this look like? Why are you like this? Lots of people do things for activity and to rest. But I think there's a different quality for us as believers, you know, and different reason why we do it. And I think people will notice that as well. So I do think about the students that we have, you know, opportunity to spend time with. And it probably looks very a stark contrast to maybe the pressures that they feel, the things that they feel like they can't stop studying, they have to produce, they have to do well. And we probably have those same feelings about lots of things in our life as well. But when we stop, you know, it is a picture for them of our trust in God, I think. So anyway, where was I? I think I kind of went off my notes. But so anyway, I felt like they declared God's sovereignty and goodness in that decision. They found rest in God, experiencing inner peace in the midst of great loss in their storm. So anyway, I find that rest is not only just grace, but I think it's also an act of worship. And in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you know, you are these people. Why? So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. And so when we stop and we rest, we declare God is sovereign and good. So take a few minutes and discuss the next questions. In what ways do you struggle to rest? Where is God calling you to declare his sovereignty and goodness? And what are some ways we can encourage one another or help one another to rest as an act of worship? And you probably don't have time to go through all of them, so just pick whatever you feel like talking about. Okay, so a few years ago, I remember I spent some time, just went on a little retreat for a few days, and I just spent some time, really a lot of time in the Psalms, because I was kind of experiencing some, really just some heartache, I think, and just really felt like the Psalms are a great place to go. And God really ministered to my heart as I spent time in his word and in prayer, and it was kind of a wooded area, which was great, and so I was able to walk in the woods, and I went with a really good friend, and we talked, and I think just through all of that, I felt like God was really just comforting me in so many ways, like through his word, through my time with my friend, just even in creation, like it was so refreshing, and I left that time kind of really different than when I entered into it, and I felt like, thank you, Lord. What I realized is, like, I just needed to take some space, take some time. And I know not everybody can take a couple of days, but it made me think about, like, how can I weave this into, like, my days? How can I weave this into my weeks? You know, just I spend my time with the Lord every day. But for some reason, I was like, I feel like I need more. These verses I really like because I think they speak to... there are many we could have chosen, but I feel like these kind of are some of what I experienced in that time with my retreat, and that God really met me in all these different ways, kind of meeting these needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. And from Isaiah 57, for this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. And then 1 Corinthians 16, I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. And I just really am amazed at when I take time to rest, whether it's physical rest, whether it's just kind of turning off things so that I'm not mentally stimulated all the time, whether it's the phone or the TV or even music sometimes. When I'm in my car, I'm like, that stimulation, even though sometimes it can be refreshing because it's like I'm worshiping, other times it's just too much. And like, just God meets us where, whatever our need is, he will meet us. And the question for myself was, how can I make more space in my life for him to do some of these things? You know, and some of it is just, taking time. As a single person, it's a lot easier than when you're married and you have kids and maybe you have aging parents that you're caring for. So I feel like in some ways, I look at my life. You don't know it. You're exactly right. Good point. You don't realize it. You don't. Until you start talking to people and you observe their lives and hear what's going on. But just because you have the time doesn't mean you take it. You know what I mean? So anyway, I just was like, God, I need renewal. If I'm going to pour out into other people's lives, if you're going to work through me, I need to be meeting with you, and I need to be experiencing just the joy that you want to give me. And so anyway, I see rest as also renewal. It's God's grace. It's an act of worship. But through rest, he renews us. And it's part of experiencing, like, coming from the darkness that we experienced when we did not know Christ into his wonderful light. He strengthens us. He refreshes us. And he does it through a variety of ways, I think. You know, like Gwen was over here talking in her group about, like, sometimes cooking is a burden, but sometimes cooking, it brings life to her, you know? And so, like, what are the things that God uniquely has wired you up, given you personality and interests for that really kind of refresh you? In this next part, there's a page in, I think, in your thing that says ideas for rest, what sounds refreshing to you? And so I think, like, you know, look at that. You know, what captures your attention, what's speaking to your heart. Maybe there's some new things that you can begin to incorporate into your life. you know, from time to time. Last year, I love boating. I grew up boating with my dad. We lived near the Mississippi. He had a sailboat, so we would go out and boat. But really, my whole adult life, I haven't really taken time to do any boating because I don't own a boat. I don't know people that have boats. It's like you have to go rent a boat, right? And so my friend and I last summer, we rented a pontoon boat. We went out on Alum Creek, and I was amazed. It was just for 2 hours, but I was like, I was so refreshed. Like we just boated, we stopped the boat, we went swimming in the lake. I was like, I have forgotten that I love this, you know? And how, like, refreshing it was to me. And so I think there's things that we haven't experienced yet, maybe that would renew, like God would use it to refresh us, renew us, bring new vigor in life. And there are things that maybe we had done in the past that we haven't done for a long time because life has just happened. Like, what are those things? And then how do you fit them in? Like, how do you take the time to just do them? And, you know, so look at the list, think about that, discuss it, maybe describe a time that you experienced renewal with one another. So go ahead and do that. Okay, we're going to start back up again. I know, you guys are going to have to sit together at dinner and keep talking, I'm telling you. This, we could talk more. So, just want to show you a few statistics. We're not pastors of local congregations or anything exactly, although we have we shepherd people, right? But as men and women in ministry, I think it's important that we be aware of some of these things. So 75% of pastors report being extremely stressed or highly stressed. 90% work between 55 to 75 hours per week. 90% feel fatigued and worn out every week. 91% have experienced some form of burnout in ministry, and 18% say they are fried to a crisp right now. And I have to say, when I entered into our gathering, even yesterday, I felt fried to a crisp right now. So I'm wondering if you see yourself on here, or if maybe you have experienced any of these at some point. I think that, you know, there are busy seasons, times when there are greater demands on our lives, whether that's health issues, family need, whether that's ministry. You know, the campus ministry, their welcome time is mid-July through early to mid-September, and that time has a lot going on, right? So I think that's usual. It's normal. We need to expect that there will be some times like that. But if this is like months and you have some control over that, like you have some control, like you can rest, but you're not, this is concerning. I would be concerned for you. And I think rest is really important. And so even in those busy times, I really encourage you, if you're not, to, when they're over, to take some time to rest. Like recuperate, you know. I want to talk about routines of rest, which is the next thing, because I think that routines are important for the purpose of even the times when there is that greater demand on your time and energy, or when the crisis does come. Like if you're already depleted and then you're being asked to do more, And if you're already depleted and your health goes down the tubes, if you're already depleted and your family needs you, it's just gonna, it's gonna be a lot worse. You know, like everything's gonna be so much worse. So we want to store up God's refreshment, you know, over time so that we have plenty when it's needed. So IFI wants you to rest. Your directors want you to rest. The national team wants you to rest. And these are just a few routine types of routines. You know, you're the daily rest, Sabbath or weekly rest, devotion days, which I'll talk about in sabbatical. So I remember a time where I felt like I was doing pretty good resting because I said, I'm going to take a day off every week. And what happened, though, is I wasn't doing good with my daily rest. And so I was working like really long hours, 6 days a week, and then the seventh day would come and I would check out. You know, like all I could do is I needed physical recovery. And so there was no like real communion with God. You know, not that God's not there, but, you know, there was no real entering into intimacy with God. There was no real intimacy with other people on my day of rest. It was just me, like, just sleeping, watching TV, just, like, doing anything that didn't require anything of me, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, but I think that that's not really what we're talking about when we talk about rest. There'll be days when you need that, but if you're daily resting, you're meeting with the Lord, you're doing some things that replenish you, you're spending time with your family and just being with each other. I heard David talk about being with his wife, right? And how life-giving and wonderful that was, just to be together, talk, listen, no agenda, you're not producing anything, you don't have to accomplish anything, you're just together, right? I don't think we do that as much anymore, or at least if we are doing it, we're multitasking usually, you know, in the process of that. So what might it look like for you to have some daily rest time? I don't know. But how might you do that? I was reading one thing not too long ago, and this person was like, I had a really demanding time in my life, and I remember I just, like, incorporated rest throughout my day. So it was like, I'm not going to put my meetings back-to-back anymore. They're like, I'm going to leave 20 minutes where I can just step back and close my eyes. I can pray. I can eat lunch without any distractions. Just things like that. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Like, this guy found a way to incorporate rest in a very busy, busy day. But anyway, Sabbath, we've talked quite a bit about. But I just want to say, like, as I was thinking about Sabbath, when I was reading, like, this book and some other things, again, my idea of Sabbath has been kind of like vacation day. And I feel like some of the things I've been reading have challenged me to think of it a little bit differently. It's more like a day to slow down, where sometimes vacation isn't that, you know? You know, like, sometimes it's like a vacation day as you get as much fun in as you can, which then I'm exhausted at the end of the day. And there's nothing wrong with fun, because that's what we want to do, but slow down for the purpose of intimacy. Slow down. That's a good question. A definition for Sabbath and everything that I read. I don't know that anybody defined it clearly.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just a different or depending on what
is, well,
in, or is it communion with, I mean, originally I think was it communion with God day?
Well, it's set apart, definitely different than the labor of the days, the other days, you know what I mean? I think it was unto the Lord. So we know that there was not like this autonomous me kind of day, you know what I mean? There was definitely an orientation towards communion with God, you know, and his people. But I haven't read a definition, have you? Anybody read a definition?
Yeah, really curious.
This may be further.
You're the chaplain, right? historic or like what do you think God means by Sabbath? Like what does God like hoping for us in that commandment?
Yeah. Oh, you can go ahead.
For me, the book of Hebrews really brings it out nicely. There was a time we started with a group, the book of Hebrews. And the idea was about to come out so beautifully. I was telling my friend that I grew up in a Saturday day at the church. Nobody was the Sabbath people.
On Saturday.
Well, Saturday is the day. So I grew up hating this thing. So until I began to study the word of God and I became a Christian, and then I thought, God wants me to have a rest of obedience and honor to Him. That I also need to rest in Him. So that I'm limited. So He needs to obeying Him, to honor Him, by making sure that I can honor Him in my work by taking time off to rest. So, this is a time to really reflect on who God is and my limitations as a pastor in terms of my ability to continue working. And take the time to just appreciate that God made me that way.
Which is why, you know, there's no like do this, don't do that, but like I feel like what you're describing is an orientation of your heart towards God and how you're going to use that day. But the heart is the key, our motivation's key. I like that. Just briefly, if you're employed with IFI, IFI, you know, encourages you to take devotion days during the year. If you're not employed, I'm sure you could take those days as well. And you can read more about devotion days and sabbatical in the IFI policy, so I'm not going to like spend too much time there, but sabbatical is a great thing to consider embracing if you've been in ministry for several years. Every 7 years, they encourage people to take some time off. So, and there's purposefulness to that, which you can read about, but I'm going to keep going because we need to wrap up. So we've seen rest as God's grace to us. Rest is an act of worship. Rest is used by God to renew us, and it's best if we rest routinely. So 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5 says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So I like to think about rest as coming to him, the living stone. And we receive his grace. We worship him as we declare sovereign and good. We give space in our lives to him that he can renew us. And but as I thought through all of these things, it does encourage me to rest. So we don't have time for the last bit of questions, but use the next 2 minutes to do the application for yourself. Now, we kind of did, actually. Think about what's most important, the most important point for you to take away today, ideas you might like to try, and what rest routine would you like to embrace for the coming year? Ask God to help you figure out. So just take a couple minutes by yourself to do that. Well, I'm bummed that we didn't get to talk about those last ones very much because they are really good questions. So maybe you can keep a conversation going either with one another or others back, you know, on your campus or in your family or whatever, because, you know, some people probably have some good rhythms of rest and some routines they've developed, and we can learn from them. So, and I wanted to mention, like, under here where there's that link that's really long and you probably don't want to type it in, I just wanted to mention that there are, like, retreat places all across the U.S. where people in ministry can go for a reduced price or for free. And I even went to one in Ohio. It's called Innkeeper's Ministry, and it's totally free. It's, like, about an hour away from Columbus. And you know, if you're wanting to get away somewhere for devotion days or something, like, look up on the internet, and there's all sorts of places out there that you could, you know, could go, and it wouldn't be maybe quite as expensive. So, but let me pray because we have to wrap up, or otherwise I'll probably get y'all in trouble and myself too. So if you aren't where you're supposed to be. So, but Lord, I thank you for just your loving heart. You are not a harsh taskmaster like the Egyptians who had the Israelites under their thumb, but you are one who brings freedom and great opportunity to enter into your presence, to experience your peace and your joy. And you uniquely made us, God. You've made us all different, with different backgrounds, different interests, different personalities. Some of us need more time for solitude than others. Some of us love the sunshine, some of us love the snow. Lord, I just pray that you would orient our hearts towards you. I pray we'd be fully yielded to you and just wanting to honor you with the time that you've given us in ministry, but also in rest. So I pray that you would direct each of our steps in this coming year, that you would give us ideas, that you would show us what it looks like for us to develop a new routine of rest with you this year. Pray you bless each person in this room and that they would find just that their hearts are just so full in being revived because of the time that they have spent resting. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Michelle.